Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
When it comes to home insurance, GEICO works for you. And since I'm the GEICO Gecko, I work for you too.
Hey, Gecko, could you DJ my workout?
I got you, Derek. I know you like them sweet beats on leg day. Great home gym, by the way.
That's fire, Gecko.
I call this remix, bundle your home and car insurance so you can save and get coverage that grows with you.
Oh, yeah, rolls right off the tongue. And you know what else I like?
Air horn.
Oh, yeah.
Let GEICO work for you. Get more with GEICO.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. Sports Grid includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything across the grid. We are together here for the next 3 hours on the Early Line up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. There is a ton to get to here on this Tuesday. Looking back on the end of week number 13 of this NFL regular season. An upset in Duval County on Monday Night Football for the first time in a very long time for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The in-season tournament in history last night in the association. The first ever quarterfinal games we have seen in the IST. A big night of college basketball ahead. The Heisman finalists are named in college football. So much to get to here, Donnie, up until 11 a.m. Eastern on the grid.
Early December, firing on all cylinders last night, which is what the Cincinnati Bengals were doing. It is exciting times in the NBA because anybody looks like they have a chance at winning this playoff or it's an in-season tournament here. So if you are a favorite, watch out. But we'll get after some hot topics this morning. It's time to get it underway.
The night of the underdog, both in the in-season tournament and in the National Football League. The Jacksonville Jaguars playing on Monday Night Football, Donnie, for the first time since 2011 in more than a decade, were booked as a 9.5-point home favorite in Duval County against the Bengals, now led by Jake Browning. But Jake Browning was sensational. He threw for more than 350 yards and a walk-off 48-yard field goal from Money Mac. Evan McPherson in overtime gives Cincinnati the outright victory as a 9.5-point underdog, 34-31 on Monday Night Football in Jacksonville. Quickly, we welcome in our Sports Grid radio audience here. Hour number one of a Tuesday live on the Early Line on Sports Grid, Sirius XM channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. And the Bengals pull off the stunner last night in Jacksonville, winning outright as a 9.5-point favorite, led by Jake Browning, 34-31 over the Jags.
Impressive offensive game, 65 total points. The shame is that we'll get into it later. Trevor Lawrence goes down with an ankle injury, yeah. But you take a look at Browning, 37 passes, 354 yards, an overtime victory. A lot of fun to watch that game. Yesterday on the show, hey, Donnie, what's a quick best bet for tonight? Travis Etienne, anytime touchdown, got that right away on the Pro Football Today show yesterday. My two bets on the show, plus 10 for Cincinnati. Is that number ratcheted up from 8.5 in the morning? And also flipping it over to Browning at 216.5. And again, he threw for 354. The Cincinnati Bengals, right in the thick of it once again for the playoff race, but the bigger question marks now start to come from the Jaguars. How long is that quarterback going to be out? And also, the Houston Texans are ready to pounce.
The state of Florida has seen some quarterback injuries in the last couple of weeks. Should the Jacksonville Jaguars be disqualified from the postseason because their quarterback is injured? Should the Bengals even be allowed to compete, knowing they're playing with a backup quarterback? Oh, the hypocrisy. But anyway, we'll save that conversation for another day. The Bengals and even 500 at 6-6. And last night, with a measly total that closed at 40.5, we go over the trifecta all three primetime games in week 13. Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, all hit the over, bucking the trend. The night of the underdog continued into a historic evening in the association, the first ever quarterfinal games in the NBA's in-season tournament. We start in Indianapolis, where the Pacers win by 10 outright as a 5.5-point underdog, knocking off the Boston Celtics 122-112. Tyrese Halliburton comes alive, Donnie, in that second half to lead Indiana into Las Vegas on Thursday night in the NBA in-season tournament semifinal round.
And I'm pretty sure the NBA ownership groups, I should have said the NBA front office, was given a soft golf clap like, ooh, that's really fun, but we wish the Celtics were going to end up in Los Angeles. But that's a great win by the Pacers, and the one thing you can bank on is they play a fun brand of basketball. What, they have 134 yep. points in this game, still staying, or it's going to be 234, still staying under the total, which is crazy. Yeah. But Halliburton, you knew he'd show up. Triple-double in a big moment. Yeah, he got it done.
That total was on the rise, 244.5. Yeah. It stays under from what the pregame over-under was. And yes, Halliburton, his first career triple-double, which is crazy, Donnie, because he always pads the stats. But 26 points, 13 dimes, 10 boards last night against Boston, and the Jays for the C's, Tatum and Brown combined for 62 points. It's not enough. Indiana wins outright as a 5.5-point underdog. The nightcap of the doubleheader that we saw in the in-season tournament up in Northern California between Sacramento and New Orleans also goes to the dog. The Pelicans winning by 10, 127-117 outright as a 3.5-point underdog. Donnie, New Orleans this year is 9-3-1 against the spread. Eight of those nine covers an outright victory when booked as an underdog. They advance to Las Vegas in the Western Conference in-season tournament portion to play in the semifinals on Friday night.
Zion scores 10 points here. Ingram counters him with 30. But if you take a look at the Sacramento Kings, and you told me before the game, Domantas Sabonis is going to have a triple-double in that game, and De'Aaron Fox is going to drop 30. Where do I sign up on the Sacramento Kings moving forward in the in-season tournament? Didn't happen last night. This game goes over the total. That's a big win for the Pels. 127 on the road here, and they advance.
The Pels had the second longest price entering last night to win the NBA Cup, the championship of the in-season tournament. Now co-favorites on this Tuesday morning alongside Milwaukee at plus 280. Semifinal action on Thursday evening in Vegas, the NBA Cup championship on Saturday night out in the desert. Now news around the National Football League as Kenny Pickett undergoes tightrope surgery to his injured ankle. He is going to be out for a few weeks. No exact timeline, Donnie, but Mike Tomlin saying yesterday the injury is not season-ending.
Yeah, well, then the injury might as well be season-ending to the football team, because relying on Mitchell Trubisky to get you anywhere certainly is not going to happen. You saw that play out on Sunday against a horrendous Arizona Cardinals team. This is a team with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You look at smoke and mirrors, that's exactly what their record is. Sure, if the season ended today, they'd be in the playoff chase and might make it in, but I need to see them down the stretch here. That offense, which we got a little bit of a glimpse of that might be able to perform, completely shut the door in that Arizona Cardinals game. I don't know where the Steelers go from here, but certainly an injury to Pickett doesn't help.
Still a 6-point favorite on Thursday night at home against the 2-win New England Patriots. Other news around the National Football League as it pertains to the quarterback, of course, after benching Tim Boyle and playing Trevor Siemian, the Jets want to make the move to Zach Wilson, but he's reluctant to play.
I love it. This is good. This is the player fighting back against the organization by going, yeah, you scapegoated me here, and it's my fault we didn't win a lot of football games, but now you went to two backup quarterbacks after me, and so they were much worse than I am, so maybe I wasn't the issue for the New York Jets offense, Mr. Nathaniel Hackett.
4-8, the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers is not coming back. Donnie, pretend to be shocked. Caleb Williams is not playing in the Holiday Bowl for Southern Cal against Louisville. And the Heisman finalists were named last night. Michael Penix Jr., Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, and Marvin Harrison Jr. Where's Jordan Travis? He's the most significant player in college football. A Monday Night Football recap next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A a stunner on Monday Night Football to end out week number 13 of this 2023 NFL regular season. For the first time in more than a decade, the Jacksonville Jaguars played on Monday Night Football, and it did not go their way. Welcome back to a Tuesday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. Donnie, Jacksonville booked as more than a touchdown favorite twice this year. Last night at home in Duval County on a Monday night against Cincinnati. Week number three on the Sunday slate against the Houston Texans. In both times, the Jags have not just failed to cover, the Jaguars have lost outright. Last night in overtime, 34-31. Cincinnati pulls off the stunner, winning outright as a 9.5-point underdog.
Yeah, and you know what? It was surprising to me that the Jacksonville Jaguars lost that game. It wasn't surprising to me that the Cincinnati Bengals were going to hang around in that football game. And it was also surprising that we talked yesterday on the early line, Ben. The line was 8.5. Then it goes to 9, 9.5. We even saw 10.5s around game time yesterday when we were doing Pro Football Today. But looking at the game overall, I said to myself, my favorite wager was going to be Jake Browning's over 216.5, which was available at the FanDuel Sportsbook right around, I would say, 5 o'clock yesterday. By 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, that line had moved up to 219.5, so some steam was gaining there. And the reason I was positive is because, number one, you got Ja'Marr Chase, you got T. Higgins coming back, he got Boyd in the slot. You knew they would be able to move the football against a defense in the Jacksonville Jaguars that was susceptible against the pass. Now, also, watching the first quarter of the game, scratching our heads a little bit, going like, Jake Browning, it's okay to throw the football more than 4 yards. You don't have to throw slip screens repeatedly here. But I guess that was the game plan to try to get him in rhythm. And once that took off, Jake Browning was the better quarterback in the game and looked like he hadn't missed a beat from his college days at Washington. And who needs Joe Burrow? I thought they were sensational on offense and bad on defense, which is why I changed at least yesterday. Also, talking about the 38.5, going like, I know I voted for the under, but the more I talk myself into it, this seems like a stone-cold over game, and it certainly was. That's a big-time victory for the Bengals in the playoff race, but now more question marks, as we say, go to the Jacksonville Jaguars with their quarterback situation, and also, do they have enough gas in the tank now to hold off the Houston Texans?
Also in Duval County, Jacksonville has not been good this year. They are 3-4 at home. They are 5-0 away from Jacksonville. But last night at home, booked as a nearly double-digit favorite, to lose outright in overtime is never a good taste left in the mouth. What makes it even worse, Donnie, of course, was the injury to Trevor Lawrence late in the fourth quarter. They are calling it a sprained ankle, but the timetable not exactly set for when Lawrence might be able to return. Jacksonville now 8-4. Donnie, still a game advantage for the Jags in the AFC South, but hot on the heels of the Jaguars, both the Texans at 7-5 and the Indianapolis Colts, same mark for Indy. Things getting a little precarious for Jacksonville following a loss outright last night in Duval as a 9.5-point, 10-point favorite.
Yeah, it was tough to watch it play out, because that's one of those games you figured is a layup, where before the season started, like, oh no, look at this. We're going to have a Monday Night Football game against Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. Would the Bengals be playing for the number one seed, and how are we going to be doing at that time? Then you get the backup quarterback situation, and you should walk away with an easy victory, but now more question marks come up. But by the way, you take a look at their schedule moving forward. 27th in the NFL. Tough games left. The Cleveland Browns, even with, you know, Joe Flacco at quarterback. Then you take a look at the Baltimore Ravens. They got the Panthers, the Titans, and the Bucs still there. If you have Trevor Lawrence, you're feeling confident. If you don't have Trevor Lawrence, then you're dealing on C.J. Beathard. And by the way, last night, I don't know if it caught anybody the same way it did for me. Usually when your superstar franchise player has a debilitating leg injury, you put him on a cart and you drive him back to the locker room and you help him get off and you get him out. It seemed like, I think he, right now, but I think he's still walking down in Jacksonville to try to get to the locker room as police officers and coaches were helping him walk on an injured ankle when it was clear he could barely move. So shout out to the medical facilities down there in Jacksonville. But getting back to the game itself, I thought Cincinnati was very good. I don't know where this leads them, but it looks like they have a competent quarterback, and maybe anybody could be competent when you have that trio wide receiver.
How about letting a backup quarterback play to see if that quarterback can lead his team, even as a hefty underdog, to an outright victory? How about that? The idea that games might actually matter. The results on a football field might actually be the distincting factor that we need. How about it? Come on.
Super Bowl.
Right?
Super Bowl.
Interesting.
Bowl games in
maybe
college.
They're letting Makes Trevor Lawrence. Sense. Maybe they're letting Trevor Lawrence walk around, Donnie, so he could be listed as day-to-day so that any committee out there doesn't have the overruling power to say you're not healthy enough to be good enough to lead your team to postseason victories. Of course, I am still rather angry at the College Football Playoff Selection Committee and what they did to Jordan Travis and Florida State. That's not how things work in the National Football League with seven teams making the postseason in each conference. So now let's look at the quarterback comparison. Both quarterbacks go over their passing yards prop last night. 244.5, the number for Lawrence. He finishes with 258 and two touchdowns. Jake Browning on the other side, 32 of 37. 354 yards. A passing score, also ran one in with 22 rushing yards. Donnie, Jake Browning made his second career NFL start yesterday in Jacksonville. On the road in Duval County, booked as a 9.5-point underdog, and he led his team to an outright victory. I think when you look at Cincinnati in the wild card chase in the AFC, I still think it's very unlikely the Bengals will grab one of those playoff spots in that conference, but I don't think they're necessarily put to bed just yet, as we all thought following last weekend when they lost against the Pittsburgh Steelers 16-10.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden for Cincinnati, it's like, can they make the playoffs? Well, they got the Chiefs, they got the Browns, the Steelers, the Colts, and the Minnesota Vikings. So if we're just taking a look in the AFC alone, the Chiefs are in the playoff battle. That's a win. You can take them down. The Cleveland Browns in the playoff battle. Yeah. You can win and take them down. The Pittsburgh Steelers and also the Indianapolis Colts. So the pathway is there for Cincinnati to get in. And quite frankly, if you go 500 in those football games, you might find yourself heading into the playoffs here, which would be interesting because it's one of those teams you tend to write off. But there's a long way to go. We're not sure of what Browning actually is. But last night, Zach Taylor said, I'm going to open up the passing game for you. Yeah. I believe in you here. Some other coaches in college go, hey, man, these backup quarterbacks stink. I better just run Wildcat the entire football game. So that's the advantage. And there you go. We'll see if Cincinnati can make their way into the playoffs. I still don't think they're going to because, number one, Ben,
right.
I don't know if you can just rely on let's drop 30-plus points in every single football game. The issue we didn't have to rely on for 2 years was Lou Anaramo's defense stepping up to the table and saying, hey, we'll play good defense behind Joe Burrow. They don't play any defense right now, Ben.
Yeah, still a bottom five passing defense for Jacksonville as well. We talked about where Cincinnati struggles defending the run and even in the back half, but Jacksonville was exposed last night at home. Jake Browning throwing for 354, and Donnie, Jamar Chase big last night, 11 grabs, 149 yards, and a touchdown, a 76-yard touchdown on a third and short deep in Cincinnati territory on their opening offensive drive of the second half. Jake Browning airing it out, hitting Jamar Chase in stride. He breaks away and scores a touchdown. T. Higgins in his return, three grabs for 36 yards. Joe Mixon scoring twice for Cincinnati. Donnie, I think there's a lot of confusion around what that AFC postseason picture looks like at this moment, at least for the odds makers at the FanDuel Sportsbook. No make playoff prices available for any AFC team right now on FanDuel. Just make playoff prices for those teams out in the NFC. Cincinnati does not have a team remaining on its schedule that has a losing record below 500 at the moment, the third most difficult remaining in the AFC. Meanwhile, Jacksonville, the second easiest left in the AFC, all a part of the situation now as we enter this home stretch. Only five more weeks, DRS, left in this NFL regular season.
Yeah, and also, if there's only 5 weeks left, the way Trevor Lawrence left that football game, how healthy is he going to be for those last five games of the season? And by the way, last night, Ben, every single primetime game, I do the parlay of the quarterback's rushing yards. And Browning gets that late 20-yard-plus run here. And I was like, right, Trevor Lawrence is out of the football game. I can't catch a break on those, but got to keep firing away.
So the Jags in Cleveland this upcoming Sunday, they're a slight underdog at the moment. The Bengals host the Colts as a slight 1.5-point underdog as well. More on the early line coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A historic Monday night in the NBA that we recap live right here on a Tuesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. The first ever quarterfinal games in the history of the association in the NBA's new in-season tournament. And on a Monday night, the doubleheader of quarterfinal matchups that we saw did not disappoint. We start out in Indianapolis, the Pacers and the Celtics. Boston, who is the NBA championship favorite and has been all offseason into the early goings of this year, was also the favorite to win the NBA in-season tournament. That's known as the NBA Cup. That was entering last night because the Celtics were booked as a 5.5-point road favorite in Indianapolis against the Pacers. But it was the night of the underdog. The Pacers win outright by double digits, 122-112 as a 5.5-point dog. A huge second half for Tyrese Halliburton and all of Indiana. And despite 234 combined points, Donnie, between the two teams, the pregame total of 244.5 stays under.
Yeah, we were waiting for the Pacers yesterday. Where's that offense at? 22 in the first quarter. 24-22 was actually the end of the first quarter with the Celtics, a two-point lead. Because I think a lot of questions from fans watching, bettors, handicappers alike, was this going to have a different feel to us? Is this game going to stay under because it's a more playoff atmosphere? And if you watch that first quarter, you probably got a dose of, look at this. Like, the Pacers are a lot of fun, but once they turn into a playoff atmosphere, that offense doesn't work. Then they turn that into 26 points in the second quarter, and then back-to-back 37-point quarters in the third and fourth, which was a great victory for them. And also, as we talked about yesterday, the feeling of, sure, if this is a playoff series for seven games, the Celtics probably win this series. And heck, if the Celtics lost game number one, nobody would sweat. But in the in-season tournament, you lose game number one, which is your only game. You are now out of the in-season tournament, which does make it a lot of fun and gives the underdogs a legitimate chance. And also, the Pacers were at home. They weren't in the TD Bank Garden in Boston. That certainly helped. That's a nice win for the Pacers. And granted, 37-37 in the second half back-to-back quarters against the Celtics, that's big time.
Big time. And Donnie, when you looked at the first half, 55-48, that was Boston's lead at the break. That is a first half score that we would see in the NBA playoffs. That defensive intensity ratchets up just a little bit, scoring more at a premium. You probably would have thought at that moment, oh my God, we might not even see 200, let alone 244 and a half. We got up to 234, but it does stay under that total. Just the third under this year out of 19 games for Indiana. Boston, meanwhile, that was game number 20 of their season. And yes, the quarterfinal matchups do count towards your regular season record. They have been booked as a favorite in every game so far this year, Donnie. They are now 8-10-2 against the spread as a favorite. Meanwhile, as the underdog, the Pacers are 6-3 against the spread. And not just against the number, all six covers, six outright wins for Indiana. This Pacers team, Donnie, not only do they advance to the semifinals now for the first ever NBA in-season tournament, those games on a Thursday night out in the desert in Las Vegas, I think you can continue this momentum over to the rest of the regular season and maybe factor in that Eastern Conference playoff discussion, especially led by Tyrese Halliburton, 26 points, 13 assists, 10 rebounds last night. His first ever career triple-double, which is crazy to say, Donnie, because we have talked about Halliburton. You have spoken about him at length throughout this season. And pretty much every night, points plus assists, points, 3 points made. The prop categories for Halliburton have not even come close. Last night, his PRA, points plus rebounds plus assists, was 44.5. He skies over that with a huge second half to lead Indiana into the NBA in-season tournament semifinals on Thursday night in Vegas.
Yeah, it seems easy. We're like, hey, just run a second guy at Halliburton. That should shut him down. That's like saying, like, hey, there's double coverage Tyreek Hill and all your problems will go away. Great basketball players, great professional athletes make a way around those things. And he hasn't surprised anybody this season. He's doing on a night-to-night basis, winning in different ways. You need me to score a lot of points, I'll do that. You need me to be a big assist guy, I can absolutely do that. But also, you know, I love to check the box scores out of the game. Hey, Donnie, before the game, I'm going to give you a little bit of a tip. Tatum's going to have 32. Brown's going to have 30. What do you think happens in this game? Well, it looks like the Celtics are moving on in the in-season tournament, and rightfully so. No, not the case, man. Love the fact that, and I like this too, because again, when we talk about upsets, right, it's usually in the championship phase. And I don't mean the in-season tournament. I'm talking about like, hey, great, the Celtics got knocked down. It's like, ooh, well, who's going to advance in here? And is everybody going to still keep their attention on the playoffs here? I think this is kind of fun because it's really set up for an underdog to make a run, because all they have to do is knock off a top dog in one game. And the Pacers did that.
So the incentives for the NBA in-season tournament, from the monetary payouts to the players, $500,000 if you win the NBA Cup. And you could see, Donnie, how invested the Pacers bench was last night with every point there in the fourth quarter for Indiana to close out this game and send the Pacers to Las Vegas on Thursday for the semifinals. We'll look at the overall outlook for Indiana and who awaits the Pacers potentially in that Eastern Conference semifinal that we will see on Thursday in Vegas. The second game of two, the nightcap of the doubleheader in the NBA in-season tournament quarterfinal matchups out in Sacramento, the Kings booked as a 3.5-point home favorite, but it was the underdog striking the upset once again. The Pelicans win outright as a 3.5-point dog, also by double digits, behind a 30-point performance from the man on your screen, Brandon Ingram. 127-117. And Donnie, the Pelicans, like the Pacers, when booked as an underdog this year, have been sensational. 9-3-1 against the number as an underdog. 8 of those 9 covers an outright victory, including the upset in the in-season tournament quarterfinals last night.
Yeah, and how do you win a basketball game on the road? Well, you better bring your offense with you. 127 points here for the Pelicans, which also included, Ben, 54% from the field, which included 45% from three-point range. That's how you get after business. Now, having said that, the Pelicans are a fun team. Zion's a great basketball player. He's fun to watch. Only had 10 points, which means other players on that Pelicans team stepped up here. The Sacramento Kings, one of the teams I love to watch, along with the Indiana Pacers, I thought would have been a lot of fun if they advanced here, but weren't able to turn the trick, even though we had that triple-double, as we talked about, from Sabonis, and really a good night from Fox, who actually was 10 of 25 from the field. So the efficiency wasn't there, but the points certainly were 34-5 overall. That should have been good enough for a victory for the Sacramento Kings, but you got to give credit to the road team here. The Pelicans were locked in and certainly knocking down three-point shots. And if you live by the three and die by the three, which most sports teams do in the NBA and college basketball, you make them, you're going to win games. They made them and they won the game.
Also, Donnie, just a quick shout out to our guy, Tom Vecchio, the jack of all trades. He gave you two prop plays for the NBA in-season tournament last night. In the second game, Keegan Murray, over 2.5 made threes for the second year pro out of Iowa. He hit 4, and Jason Tatum, over 45.5 points plus rebounds and assists. Tatum had 32, 12, and 6 over that number as well in the opening game, despite the loss for the Celtics. So a big night for you if you watched the show yesterday. And we gave out DeMontis Sabonis over his PRA. He finishes with a triple double. I will say, Donnie, our team is Sacramento as a favorite this year. The Kings have not been great. 7-6 straight up, 5-8 against the spread, not covering by an average margin now of 6.7 points per game. So as a favorite, Sacramento has not been all that profitable throughout this season. What was interesting, Donnie, entering last night, two underdogs, Indiana, the longest price of the 8 remaining teams in the NBA in-season tournament quarterfinals, they were at 17-1. The Pelicans, an underdog against Sacramento, had the second longest price to win the NBA Cup at 12-1. Now New Orleans, plus 280, a co-favorite alongside Milwaukee, who hosts New York, that being the Knicks, tonight in their quarterfinal matchup. In Indiana, up the board, plus 490, the fourth best price. Both the Pacers and the Pelicans, of course, have clinched their spot in the NBA in-season tournament semifinals. That's coming on Thursday in Las Vegas.
By the way, could we see the same thing that happened last night? The Boston Celtics as the favorite, the Indiana Pacers last place here in the odds market. They got the victory tonight again. The Milwaukee Bucks plus 280, the New York Knicks 10-1, first and last year. We'll see if we can pull off the upset in that environment. I'm interested to see, because now some of these teams bow out. And look, if you get an upset tonight for the Knicks take down the Bucks, do we then look at the Los Angeles Lakers, who are struggling in the regular season, go like, hey, look at that, the in-season tournament victors here, or maybe the leaders in the odds market? It could happen.
I'm looking at the Lakers as a slight point and a half favorite tonight because of the narrative that I have spun in my head about LeBron James wanting an NBA cup because Michael Jordan never had one. Again, here are the odds for the NBA in-season tournament as we enter the second night of the quarterfinals. The Lakers, a 1.5-point home favorite, plus 460, less than a dollar in front of the Suns, who they will host tonight. The Bucks, a 4.5-point favorite against the New York Knicks. The Knickerbockers, at this moment, a 10-1 price, the longest of the six teams still remaining in the IST. College basketball last night, a Big Ten bash at Mackey Arena. Purdue was number one in the country last week. They fall to number four in the updated AP poll that was released yesterday afternoon after they were upset by Northwestern for a second consecutive year on the road in Evanston on Friday night. But they bounced back with a nearly 20-point win, winning by 19 over the Iowa Hawkeyes last night in the Big Ten opener for Iowa. Purdue covering, Donnie, as a 13.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I knew this one was over at halftime, 45-24. So Purdue just cruised into the second half, 8-1 now on the season, and away we go.
Right now, Iowa not great as an underdog, 0-3 straight up, 1-2 against the spread. Purdue booked as the favorite to win the Big Ten, plus 125, and still 10-1 to win a national championship. It's because Zach Edey is still there. We check in on the NFL following week number 13, coming your way next on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to take a future focus in the National Football League with only 5 weeks left in this 2023 NFL regular season. An 18-week regular season that now has come to a close with 13 of them, with week 14 on the horizon in just 2 days' time. We will look at the odds around the Super Bowl markets, the conference championship markets, and individually, of course, the MVP race following week number 13. Donnie, let's start with those MVP odds live right here on this Tuesday on the early line. Co-favorites as the market has moved ever so slightly following week number 13. Dak Prescott and Brock Purdy, both at 3-1 in front of Jalen Hurts, who entered week 13 as the lone favorite, plus 150. But following the loss to San Francisco, he moves back by $2 at plus 350. What is your assessment of where the NFL MVP odds have moved following week number 13?
It seems correct here, and I love the fact that we don't just have like a two-horse race here. There's legitimately maybe 6 to 7 guys we might be playing into this with an absolute legitimate chance to win this thing when it's all said and done. Dak Prescott has been really good. Yes, he's going to move up in the standings here. Brock Purdy has been really good, and he beat the Philadelphia Eagles head-to-head. Yes, he's going to move up in the standings. Jalen Hurts didn't have a great football game against San Francisco, but there's still some time left. And if I equate this again, because usually it's usually a statistical number here, like, oh, Patrick Mahomes going to set, and always go back to this term, 55, 60 touchdown passes in a season, he's got to be the MVP. We're not getting that this year. So I do think the extracurriculars of how your team finishes down the stretch is going to be a big bump. And the reason I say that, if the Dallas Cowboys overtake the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers with the best record in the NFL, Dak's going to win it. If Brock Purdy runs the table the rest of the way and the Philadelphia Eagles stumble against the Dallas Cowboys and wind up, let's just say, the number two seed, Brock Purdy's going to win it. If Jalen Hurts beats the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football and they run the table, Jalen Hurts is going to win it here. That's the feeling that I have, where it's no longer like, let me just see the quarterback, Ben, and see if he can throw for 375 and three scores. Let me see how the quarterback plays, and also, does the team win?
And that's a huge component of this. The NFL MVP award is virtually a quarterback award at this point. The last 10 winners of the Most Valuable Player award have all played quarterback. The last non-QB to win it was Adrian Peterson over a decade ago. 15 of the last 16 MVP winners have played the quarterback position. And we've talked about this often, fair or unfair. The quarterback is the most significant position on a football field. So individual success is tied to team success. We never look at a tight end or a safety or an edge rusher and say, well, his team's 7-4. That all comes down to him. We never correlate wins and losses to any other position on the football field except the QB. So that's why when your team is having success, even if your stats are not all that historically tremendous, you are given the benefit as well. Donnie, there are now 10 quarterbacks following week number 13 who have thrown for 3,000 yards or more. Jalen Hurts is not one of them. He's only 5 yards off that pace, 2,995. But for Hurts, it's the fact that Philadelphia still has the best record in the National Football League at 10-2, and you must take into component, in my estimation, his rushing ability and his prowess on a historic pace at this moment. 12 rushing touchdowns, one shy of the 13 he scored a season ago, two shy of Cam Newton's record for the most in a single NFL season at the quarterback spot. That was 14 set by Cam Newton. That's a component for Jalen Hurts as well. As we look at the MVP race, though, the two top passer ratings in the National Football League, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott. The two top QBRs in the National Football League, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott. The two top completion percentages in the National Football League, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott. Two quarterbacks that have thrown six INTs or less this year, Brock Purdy and Dak Prescott. The numbers are there, Donnie, in my estimation, to make an argument for both of those quarterbacks. But numbers is slightly different than narrative, and that is a component of the MVP race as well, because this is voted on by members of the media. If Dallas can't beat a winning team throughout the end of this home stretch of the NFL regular season, that is going to knock Dak, and there is still the idea that Brock Purdy, despite what he puts up statistically, is at the benefit of being under the Kyle Shanahan system with Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and George Kittle around him, and Christian McCaffrey next to him in the backfield.
Yes, and you're bringing up solid points here because you are true. It's that old equation, too, like, oh, is it just going to be the quarterback here? When you watch the Dallas Cowboys, nobody's factoring in Tony Pollard this year as saying, like, well, Tony Pollard's got 18 touchdowns and is on pace for 1,600 yards. No, but when you look at San Francisco, you are going to get some of those people going like, hey, the reason why this offense works a little bit easier is because Christian McCaffrey's in the backfield. It's easy to just throw a screen pass and he takes it the distance or just hand the football off and he always finds the end zone in the red zone. But again, if I get back to the point here on who's running the table, which I'm not so sure either one of these quarterbacks will, but if you're trying to say, all right, who's going to separate, if Dak Prescott runs the table, he's going to be the MVP. Why? He's the Philadelphia Eagles, the Miami Dolphins, the Buffalo Bills, and the Detroit Lions still left on his schedule. The second hardest schedule in the NFL overall, the top schedule in the NFC. So if he does that, which starts with the game on Sunday night against the Philadelphia Eagles in primetime, which would be a ratings bonanza, that's going to propel him. But also with Brock Purdy, let's forget, like, he has a standalone game coming on Christmas Day against the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. That might be a game that we take a look at as an eliminator. Maybe Lamar Jackson, if he upsets the 49ers, vaults himself to the top of the leaderboard. Then there's Jalen Hurts. If he has a bounce back performance against the Dallas Cowboys in prime time and the Eagles offense is fluid, he's probably going to bounce up as well, because you sort of have to look at that. If the Eagles lose to the Cowboys, I'm not so sure they can regain the number one overall seed because they lost the tiebreaker to the 49ers. There's a lot to play out and a lot of things you try to bet on. Same way we took Bo Nix with the Heisman. Hey, look, 2 weeks down the road, we think he's going to be favored in multiple games here. Beat Oregon State, beat Washington. He's going to be the, you know, Heisman Trophy winner. It didn't work out. It doesn't always. You just try to put yourself and have yourself with the best odds going, here's what I think is going to happen, and bet accordingly.
Donnie, what a great edge we had in that Heisman Trophy ticket that is now in the trash. Despite Bo Nix reaching New York City as a Heisman finalist, the final odds there, Jaden Daniels, a minus 1450 odds on favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. But your point is sound. Had Oregon and Bo Nix won the Pac-12 championship game, Bo Nix would have walked out of Las Vegas holding not only the Pac-12 championship trophy, but the Heisman in the other hand. And I think you bring up a great point about Sunday night football, where Dallas is now booked as a 3.5-point favorite. And the last two times these teams met, Donnie, just over a month ago in Philly, Dak was great. 29 of 44, 374 24 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. It just came in a losing effort, losing by 5, not covering as a short underdog against Philadelphia. If the script is flipped with Dallas as a 3.5-point favorite at home in the Star on Sunday, that game is going to be tremendous market movement for the NFL MVP odds. The same for Jalen Hurts if Philadelphia pulls off the upset. I think that game, more than San Francisco and Seattle, where the 49ers are a 10.5-point home favorite against a Seahawks team that a couple of weeks ago was in first place in the NFC West. Just a drastic fall off for Seattle now on this 3-game slide. Dallas and Philadelphia, more of a market movement game, both team and individual, than San Francisco and Seattle on Sunday in Santa Clara. And again, the NFL MVP odds, the 6 quarterbacks that have the 6 shortest prices, well, their teams have the 6 shortest prices to win Super Bowl 58, now led by the San Francisco 49ers, plus 390 for SF, a full dollar and then some in front of Philadelphia and Kansas City. The Chiefs and the Eagles tied for that second best price at 5-1.
Yeah, and I guess it figures that way, because just take a look. Let me see if this is updated here. Looks like Super Bowl odds just moved to plus 350 now for the San Francisco 49ers, from improving. They have the Eagles at plus 480 and the Chiefs at 5-1. And you're going to go off of what you just saw last year, and you know there's going to be a rematch of the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers. And there's a long way to go in the NFL, Ben, as you saw last night. Injuries happen all of the time, as you saw Trevor Lawrence go down. So that's still into the equation. But if we're being honest, I look at the rest of the way here for the 49ers and say, you know what? They probably should run the table. The Philadelphia Eagles, I actually picked them to lose to the Dallas Cowboys 2 weeks ago, but I actually thought the Eagles would beat the 49ers. Now, if the Eagles go 0-2 in this spot, nobody's really actually going to be surprised, because at the beginning of the season, you looked at the gauntlet schedule and said, oh, they're going to lose a few there. Oh, they lost to the 49ers and the Cowboys. You'd probably go, yeah, that sounds about right. But now the Eagles are getting those minus or negative thoughts here that, oh, they lost 2 in a row here. Yeah. But most people predicted them probably to lose those 2 football games before the season started. It's how you bounce back. The Eagles will probably end up 1-2 in the seeding here. It just depends on who gets that one with the 49ers or the Philadelphia Eagles, and away they go into the Super Bowl. It's a lot to play out here, but I do agree, after this weekend, you got to put the 49ers probably in the lead dog spot here.
At the moment, Philadelphia is still a 1-game advantage over both San Francisco and Dallas for that top spot. And of course, for Philly and Dallas, it might come down to the NFC East. The Birds a minus 490 favorite to win the division. It's really a 2-man race for the NFL Offensive Player of the Year award. Tyreek Hill is the odds-on favorite at minus 170. Christian McCaffrey, that second best price at plus 200. Tyreek Hill on a historic pace in terms of yardage output at the wide receiver spot. Christian McCaffrey leads the NFL with 17 total touchdowns. So Donnie, let's look at this like a triple option in a way. Who should be booked as the Super Bowl favorite, the MVP favorite, and that favorite to win Offensive Player of the Year? Donnie, who are your 3 in those 3 categories?
Yeah, these are going to be subject to change, obviously, week to week here, because we have neck-and-neck races here, and every win is going to change things up. But just the way we sit here in the NFL, I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles as the Super Bowl favorite, because they're still the NFC East favorites here, technically, because they have the better record, which means they would host at home. And you would have an advantage, because if you get the number one seed, you get the bye week in first round when nobody else does. And then 2 weeks later, you're going to host the NFC Championship game against the 49ers. You're coming into that game on equal rest. Not one team has extra 4 days off and whatnot would happen, and we'll see who's actually healthy at that point, which then leads me into the correlation. The MVP would then be Jalen Hurts at that point, right? Because you have the number one overall seed, you know, somewhere along the way, maybe the 49ers tripped up against Baltimore, but the Eagles had a big win against Seattle and also against the Dallas Cowboys, and away they go into the playoffs here, which then leads me up to the Offensive Player of the Year, which I do think is Tyreek Hill at this point, because I do think they're gunning with him. And what I mean by that is they know each and every week. It's one of those things where McCaffrey was on that touchdown run. You just bet it every week and don't worry about it. Tyreek Hill to get over 100 yards, you just bet it and don't worry about it, because now we're starting to talk about he can do things never seen before in the NFL, and you know that means a lot to the players, to the coaching staff, and also to the quarterback here. So I think Tyreek Hill, they're going to hit the gas pedal for it. He doesn't need any help, but they're going to be like, hey, look, you need an extra couple targets in a game, we'll get that there to make sure you keep having 100-yard weeks.
Yeah, Donnie, I agree with that point as well. When I look at my 3 for who should be favored at this moment, I can't really argue with where the odds stack up. I think San Francisco, after the win last week in Philadelphia, should be booked as the favorite. Does that make me believe that San Francisco is legs ahead of the Birds? No, I still would bet Philadelphia over San Francisco, as ultimately I think the Eagles will hold on to that number one overall seed in the NFC. Dak Prescott should be the favorite to win the MVP, fifth most passing yards in the NFL, and he's only a few percentage points behind Brock Purdy in terms of completion percentage, QBR, passer rating, and has way more passing touchdowns than anybody else in the National Football League. Leads the NFL in passing touchdowns at this point. I give the edge to Christian McCaffrey, an offensive player of the year, because of all that he has done. The only NFL player over 1,000 yards rushing this year, the only over 850. More of that coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rounding out this opening hour of a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. Winter meetings have begun for Major League Baseball in Nashville. And there are many moving parts, of course, but the primary focus is this winter and this offseason and how hot that stove might get is one Shohei Ohtani. According to Talking Baseball and John Morosi of MLB Network, the Braves, Donnie, are among teams still engaged with Shohei Ohtani. Of course, the wrinkle in this conversation is the fact that Shohei Ohtani underwent elbow surgery at the end of last year. He is not slated to pitch this upcoming season in 2024, but still is one of the best hitters in the sport of baseball. Donnie, if you had to look at a couple of teams that you think are actually in the running to get Ohtani and what Shohei is now worth, where would you put both of those distinctions?
I would just put the distinction on probably staying in Los Angeles, and that be with the Dodgers here. And I do think, you know, there is a job to do, and everybody's asking these beat writers who's doing what here, and they get a morsel of information. Like, hey, by the way, the Braves picked up the phone and called to Ohtani's, you know, group here. Oh, we're going to report that right away. I don't think anybody knows. And by the way, just as a separate point here on baseball, the worst free agency process in the history of sports that does nothing to excite the fans one bit. You're telling me right now, like, we all knew Shohei Ohtani was going to be a free agent. Why isn't he signed day number one? Like, what is this long negotiation and drawn out process? It doesn't happen in any other sport. The best players get signed the minute there's free agency because you know the price point, you know the team is going to, and also to get back in this point, Ohtani goes to like the Dodgers. Don't you want that to happen in like December so you can build all off season, sell a ton of jerseys and season tickets? Or do you want this to happen March 21st, a week ahead, like Bryce Harper happened in Philadelphia? It's horrendous baseball strategy here. But who puts him? This is what baseball does. By the way, did they even announce the MVPs yet? I still don't even know.
I mean, listen, that is Listen Up right there with Donnie Wrightside to end out this first hour of TEL. If Arson Judge can sign somewhere by December 2nd, so can Shohei Ohtani. Hour number two of the Early Line starts in less than a minute.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.